We're going to review some of the points that were made by Rabbi Savogovsky. Obviously, we cannot review everything, and I'm going to try and focus on the things where I feel like I have something to add from all the years of doing this. But you will be, of course, responsible for everything that Rabbi Savogovsky mentioned in Shiurim, even if we don't touch upon it today. In terms of practical geirus, you should be aware of two resources that are in yeshiva and are happy to talk to you about the geirus if you're interested in the practical side of what's actually taking place on the ground. First is Rabbi Zilberman, who many of you probably know, who runs the Geirus Commission for the RCA /Basin of America. An important person if you're interested in the practical side. And also Rabbi Raum, who is one of the most prolific in terms of dealing with geirim and bringing them through the process. Rabbi Zilberman is more of oversight. Rabbi Raum is really deals with it hands-on. So if you're interested in getting any of the information or advice or practical side of it, please feel free to speak to them. Many of the protocols of the RCA and the Basin of America are online if you're interested in finding them. In terms of helpful reference for him, I understand we're at the end of our limud, but this is more of a first exposure to Hilchos Geirus, so hopefully you'll learn it a little bit slower, a little bit more be'ian on your own. So just in terms of helpful svarim for the future reference is a wonderful sefer called Mishnas Hager, which is, came out in more recent years. Then there's the older, more comprehensive work called Geirus Kehilchasa, which is shorter than the Mishnas. Mishnas Hager is much longer, more extensive, but the first work in that genre was the Geirus Kehilchasa. And then there is Menachem Finkelstein's doctoral dissertation for Bar Ilan called Hagiur, which is if you're on the more expensive side, but also, you know, he has a whole chapter in his dissertation of Moshe Shita about X, Y, or Z, and it's actually very, very useful. Okay, so we're going to start with try and go al Seder Shulchan Aruch a little bit in Simei Reish Samaches, but we'll try and follow also the process of Geirus from the beginning to the end. So the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, when a Geir comes before us, presents himself before us for Geirus, so we initially discourage him. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes us in Sif Beis, and we tell him, don't you know that Klal Yisrael is the Chuyim, Schufim, Miturafim, Yisurim, Ba'an Aleihem? Why would you want to be part of Klal Yisrael? And if he says, Yodei Ani Ve'eni Chedai, I know about all this, and I'm not worthy, then we can accept him. But initially, we discourage him from joining Klal Yisrael. Why is that? So Tosfos writes on the Gemara, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, because Kashim Gerim U Yisrael Kesapachas, as the Gemara tells us in a few places. Geirim are difficult for Klal Yisrael like a blister, so therefore we don't want to encourage Geirim. In fact, we discourage them. The Meiri writes on that Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph a different reason. That is because we're afraid the Geir is coming for some ulterior motive. And as we'll see later, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch later in Sif Yud Beis, it's a mission of Masechtas Yevamos and Chav Dal Adam Beis, that a person who is Megayer for an ulterior motive, L'chadchil, we cannot accept them. That's why we don't accept Geirim B'mayis HaMashiach, the Gemara says, or B'may David, or whenever it's advantageous, perhaps nowadays, but it's advantageous to be a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, you get certain Zechusim, or at the time of Mordechai Esther, Tosfos discusses, whenever it's advantageous to be a Jew, L'chadchila, we don't accept Geirim, because we're afraid they're coming for an ulterior motive. Soloveitchik once suggested that perhaps the reason we're not actually discouraging the Geir, the reason why we tell him this, don't you know, is not because we're discouraging him, but it's more because in order to be part of Klal Yisrael, as perhaps part of his Kabbalah's old mitzvahs, is he has to identify with us historically. He has to know what we've been through and how much we've suffered throughout the Golos, and that's going to be part of the heritage that he is attaching himself to, and he has to be aware of that and embrace it. Perhaps that's the pshat in the Mechilta that Rashi quotes in Parshas Boy. And the pasuk v'chi yagur itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem. If there will be a ger who dwells amongst you and he'll perform a carbon pesach. So the Mechilta says you might have had a havamina that every ger upon converting, even if he would convert in the middle of July or October, November, has to bring a carbon pesach. You might have thought that because the pasuk says ki yagur itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem. Then the pasuk continues and concludes v'haya ke'ezrach haaretz. He'll be like every other native in Klal Yisrael, that he only has to bring a carbon pesach on the 14th of Nisan. He doesn't have to bring it any time throughout the year when he converts. But why would I have thought, such a havamina the Mechilta has, that I would have thought every ger, whenever he converts throughout the year, would have to bring a carbon pesach? Why would I think that? Why would I think any ger throughout the year, whenever he converts, has to take lulav? Why would I think he has to bring a carbon pesach if he converts during the fall? And perhaps the answer is because the carbon pesach represents what we've suffered through historically. That's part of our heritage, and the ger has to identify with that to the degree that I might have thought. Whenever he converts, he has to bring a carbon pesach to identify with what we have suffered through in Mitzrayim as part of a collective group. He is tapping into that, attaching himself to that, and he also has to identify with it. The Meshech Chachma even says, that's my suggestion in the Mechilta. It's not Rabbi Rosenzweig is very fond of quoting this Mechilta, and he has one approach to it. But perhaps it's echoing this idea. The Meshech Chachma actually writes Lamaisa, when it was, we'll see in a second that one of the stages of Geirus is that he has to bring a carbon. If he converts around Nisan time, he could fulfill two birds with one stone. His carbon Pesach can serve as a carbon Geirus in place of the carbon Geirus. So you see that this does retain certain qualities even Lamaisa. Because in order to be part of Klai, so he has to identify with our history, which is represented by the Karban Pesach. Okay, so if the Ger says, Yodeni Veini Chedai, I know about all this and I feel unworthy to join Klal Yisrael, so says the Shulchan Aruch, it's quoting from the Gemara, Malanoi Samiyad, we do Mila immediately, without delay. And the Gemara continues, because Shehuye Mitzvah Lai Mishahinan, once an opportunity for a mitzvah arrives, we try not to delay. So Yosef Engel writes in his Golyane Hashas, and that Gemara and Yevamos, you see from here that there is a mitzvah to be makabel gerim, counter to what most people think, that we don't have a mitzvah to make gerim. We don't demissionize. We actually do have a mitzvah to make gerim. As the Gemara says, shehuye mitzvah loy mishahinon. What's the source for that mitzvah? Yes?
Is it a mitzvah for a ger to go to gerim?
How could he have a mitzvah? It's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach to convert.
At that moment, I don't know, but it's a mitzvah for us, I guess. But
no, it's a mitzvah for us to convert gerim. It's not a mitzvah for him. He doesn't have to convert.
Does he fulfill a mitzvah by converting?
Yeah.
Is that a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Does he? Well, he makes a bracha. Right. Does that indicate? Yeah. I don't know if he fulfills a mitzvah. We'll have to see. It might be a bracha on the status as opposed to a mitzvah.
You take a sip of water and then you say your first bracha, but like you already did a mitzvah.
I don't think we could speak about him having a mitzvah to be megayer, because otherwise...
For
we have a mitzvah to be Magaya Gerim. Yes. So there's the Gemara Seshi, Huya Mitzvah, Lo Mishahinan. So what is the source for that mitzvah? The Tashbeitz asks in his Truvas, what's the source for this mitzvah? And the Rishonim struggle with this. Rabbi Ruchum Fishel Perlau, in his comments on the Reb Sadigon, Sefer HaMitzvah, quotes Matthias Harosh, that perhaps it's included in the mitzvah of Ahav Temes Ager. You should love the Ger. The problem is that that's what Yochum Fischel Pillow already points out. That's after he's Megayer, so then we should love him. It doesn't necessarily indicate that we should be Megayer him in the first place. The Ravid in his Sefer Bali HaNefesh, and Hilchos Nida and Mikvos, in a different context, seems to imply that there is a mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim as well. He is discussing being Megayer a Ger Katan, which Bezin is Matvilin, that we're Matvilin Osei Al Das Bezin, the Gemara Masechta Ksubas that we discussed in the Shiur. So the Ravid writes that the Beis Din makes a bracha on the Tfilas Ger Katan. The Ger Katan can't make a bracha, he's a little child. Normally when a Ger converts, he makes a bracha. Here the Ger Katan can't make a bracha. So writes the Ravid in the Balei Nefesh, the Beis Din makes the bracha. So yes, but how can they make a bracha? Asher kitshana b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. Where is the mitzvah? What's the source for the mitzvah? To be Megayer Gerim? We can say asher kitshana b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. So he writes, it's included in the Pasuk, by Avram Avinu, Ves HaNefes Asher Asu B'charon, when he descends to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, he goes down with himself, with his wife, with Lot, and Ves HaNefes Asher Asu B'charon, the souls that he made in Charon. So you see, Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim. The problem is that, again, Rabbi Yerucham Fischel Perlau notes that that's Kaidah Matan Torah, and it's not said B'Lashon Sivoy. To really quote that as an authoritative source for the mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim is less than ideal. Rather, Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlau concludes, as do many others, that the source for this mitzvah is from the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs and Mitzvahs HaSei Gimel, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam describes that mitzvah entails that not only that we personally love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Sheyehei Shem Shamayim Misoy Val Yadecha. We should encourage other people, want to bring other people to have a greater knowledge and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And included in that, says the Rambam, is the fact that Avraham Avinu was Megayer Gerim. That's why he engaged in that process. And so too, perhaps, we could learn from Avraham Avinu's precedent, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is from Avas Hashem, that not only should we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we're interested in bringing other people as well, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Parenthetically, you see from that Ravid that there is a mitzvah, there is a bracha when Beis Din is Megayer, a Ger Katan. And the Ravid understood that the bracha is over lasiyasan. It sounds like Beis Din is making it before their taival the ger, which is a chiddush on two counts. First is, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Pesachim, first Perek, that when a ger is Megayer, so he makes the bracha after the tefillah. Because before the tefillah, he's not Jewish. How can you make a bracha? Shekishanim Zaysev Tzivanu, ala tefillah. He's not Jewish. Gavri Kati Loichazi. Some extrapolate from that to tefillah's Nida as well. As many of you probably are aware, a Nida. Many make the bracha afterwards. Again, patterned after tefillah's Gerus, where they cannot make the bracha before. The practice is, while the ger is still in the mikveh, you want it to be as closely related to the tefillah, though, so while he's still in the mikveh, even though he's not clothed, the practice is that he crosses his arms like this, that it shouldn't be liba roisa erva, and he sticks his head out of the water, obviously, and he makes the bracha of ala tefillah. The chsam soiva, obviously, has to put on a yarmulke, too, so you have to have a yarmulke nearby, yarmulke, cross his arms, and make the bracha of ala tefillah. Yeah.
The water's not a kazitza for that, or?
Oh, is the water good enough?
Yeah,
maybe. I think they cross their arms like this. That's by a typical geirus. So the because beforehand he's not able to make the bracha. However, you see from the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh that that's only true by a ger gadol. But a ger katan, where Beis Din is going to make the bracha, so then they can make the bracha over lasiyasan, which sounds like that's the way it should have been made. Rav Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi quotes in the name of Soloveitchik that he felt, I don't know if he was aware of the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh, he doesn't quote it, but Rav Soloveitchik felt that the bracha on the tefillah's ger katan should be made also after the gerus. Because the Gemara Pesachim is not telling us that we have a technical problem that he can't make the bracha beforehand because he's not Jewish. The Gemara is telling us that the nature of the bracha of tefillah is different than normal Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah typically comes in relation to a Maisa HaMitzvah. This bracha is coming on a new acquired status of being Jewish, of being a Yid. So that bracha comes, therefore, after the status has been acquired, not prior to acquiring it. It's different than a typical Birchas HaMitzvah. So therefore, argues the Soloveitchik, the same thing should be true by Tfilos Ger Katan. The Sude Yesh has a tshuva, where he has a third opinion. We had one possibility bracha before, one possibility bracha after. Sri Yesh says, there's no bracha on a tefillah's ger katan. Why not? Because higdilu yichalim limchais. When he gets older, he could reject the gerus. So it's going to be a suffic bracha situation. Maybe there will be no gerus in the end. So Sri Yesh says, better not to make a bracha at all. I believe the practice is that the Ravid to make the bracha over lasiyasan. By the way, the nusach there will be different. Normally, it's ala tefillah because the person himself went to the mikvah. If it's Beis Din who's making the bracha, it'll be al tefillah's gerim because they're being tevil someone else. So they can't make the bracha ala tefillah. It'll be a different nusach bracha. All of gerus, huh? Yeah.
Would the Sridesh say that there would be a bracha made when the child turns bar mitzvah?
On what? On the tefillah that happened 10 years ago,
or something related?
I don't think so. All of Geirus, as we know, was patterned after Maimon Har Sinai, the process that Klal Yisrael went through at the time of Maimon Har Sinai. As Gemara tells us in Krisus on Daf Tesemet Aleph, which Rabbi Sabolovsky quoted, based on the pasuk in Parsha Shlach, of Chukos Olam Ludor Seichem Kachem Kager Yelof Nei Hashem Kachem Kager, just like you went through a certain process of becoming Jewish at the time of Maimon Har Sinai, the Geir should go through that same process. And the Gemara continues, Ma'av Seichem Migo Tvila Karban. So to Geirus L'Doros is Mila Tvila and a carbon. The Gemara asks, but nowadays we don't have carbon anymore. What are you going to do? How are we going to have Geirim? And the Pasuk tells us that there'll be Ki Yogur Itchem Geir Asher B'Sechichem L'Doroseichem. Throughout all the generations there'll be a possibility for Geirus. So says the Gemara that the carbon is not indispensable. We can have Geirus without the carbon. So the Avnei Nezer writes in his Tshuvas that he believes that when a carbon is possible to perform, so then the carbon is ma'akev. B'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim, you can't have geirus without a carbon. It is indispensable. Just what the Gemara is telling us is, if it's not possible, so then it becomes not ma'akev. That doesn't mean when it is possible, it's not ma'akev. That means when it's not possible, it's not ma'akev. Yes.
Doesn't that go diametrically opposite to the svara of kol haroi
with Bila? Yeah, it's different here. It's based on geirus akasev, v'dayrei seichem. Because of that, the Avnei Nezer therefore understands in this light, Tosfos comment to Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, which is found here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph, that if it's Nichras Hagid, if a person loses that part of the body, it's been cut off, So he doesn't have a makam amila anymore. Can he convert without a amila? He doesn't have a makam amila. So it says the Avnei Taisus writes that he can. And that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's nichras agid, he can convert with just tefillah alone, even though he's a zohar. How? Where's the mila? The answer is, it's not possible to do the mila. How did Taisus know? Just because it's not possible to do the mila, all of a sudden it becomes not a critical part of gerus. It is indispensable when it's possible. So says the Avnei Taisus. That was based on the Gemara's precedent by the carbon. When the carbon is possible, it's critical. If it's not possible, you can do without it. So too, said Taisus, if it's nichras agid, you can do without it based on the precedent of the carbon. The Achronim discuss a case of a hemophiliac who can't perform, as Sobolevsky mentioned, he cannot perform gerus, the mila, because he'll bleed out. Nowadays, you could give him an injection. Rabbi Tendler used to talk about a factor 5. The reason why hemophiliacs blood doesn't clot is because they're missing a clotting factor. Nowadays, you could give him an injection and the blood will clot for a certain period of time. Artificially, you give them the factor that makes the blood clot. But there was a case, all the Achronim are discussing actually a case, a historian told me it actually happened in St. Louis, and the Shiloh was sent, how he traced it all down, but the Shiloh was sent to Europe and to Eretz Yisrael, and that's how the Shiloh got passed around. Anyway, so the Zecher Yitzchak writes, the Itzel Aponovicher, that just like Taisus said, Nichras Hagid, if it's not possible to do the mila, then it's not ma'akev. So too over here, perhaps as well, we could say since it's not possible to do the mila, it should not be ma'akev in the geirus. Many other achrayim disagreed with the Rabbi Tzel Aponovicher, almost everyone, the Har Tzvi, Rabbi Chaim Oizer, the Svi Deyesh, and also the two are not the same. Over there is no makam amila at all. It's not possible to do a carbon at all. Here there is a makam amila. Just this person has a unique medical condition, so the two would not necessarily be the same. Huh?
So they just can't become
Gerim, that was what they told him. The Dinever, Bnei Yisrael wrote in the Derech Pikudecha, they know you have to be Megayer and be Moshe Nefesh. It's part of the Gerim. Yes, ridiculous. Anyway, but that's, everyone else said sorry. You know, be a good Ben Noach. You know, there's a place for you too. Yeah.
What if he wants to go through the procedure anyway?
For what reason? I wouldn't let it. He'll think he's Jewish. He'll tell people I went through a Gerim. Do whatever you want. Go swimming in the ocean. Not under my watch.
I wouldn't let it.
Oh, he wants to do the mila anyways. I wouldn't let such a thing on my watch either. Terrible. One thing is missing, though, from the Gemara. Where's Kabbalah's old mitzvahs? That also happened at Maimon Har Sinai. There was a Torah that was given. Whether it was mila, tefillah, carbon, yes, that's true. But what about Kabbalah's old mitzvahs and Kabbalah's HaTorah? Why isn't that mentioned in the Gemara? The Gemara in Krisos. The Gemara in Yevamos does tell us that once the Ger says, Yadeini ve'eini chadai, so we do mila tvila, and then the Gemara says, Modimo so ikre hadas. We tell him, ikre hadas, and mitzos mitzos kalas, mitzos mitzos chamurois. We tell him the basis of Jewish theology, and then an array of the mitzvos. So it's interesting that the Gemara says, we tell him ikre hadas, and it's quoted over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Beis. Yeah, we tell them Ikrei Hadas and Yichud Hashem. It sounds like Nachum are not obligated to believe in the Ribbono Shelam. They're allowed to believe in, allowed to worship of a desire, but they're not. That's what the Marashah asks in that Gemara. Other Achrayim ask as well, the Aruch Laner. Nachum are obligated in this as well, as part of the Yisrov of a desire, which is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So the Aruch Laner says, no, this comes to include Shituf. Shituf, you might be aware, is an old discussion. What if you attach an Avodah Zarah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe in more than one God, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of them. A multifaceted perspective on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Aruch Laner says, this comes, some hold, B'nai Noach, and not included in that, it's only, that's unique to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so it's a discussion. But one of the things that we tell him about is Ikrei Hadas, and then we tell Mixes Mitzvahs Kalas, Mixes Mitzvahs Chamuras. The truth of the matter is that happens twice. If you look here in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis, after we tell him, we discourage him, says, and actually before the meal and the tefillah, modim asa ikrei hadas, and mixes mitzvahs kalas, mixes mitzvahs chamuras, before we even do the meal and the tefillah. Then, we do the meal, and then before the tefillah, while he's sitting in the mikvah, again, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Sif Yud Beis, that, Simen Reish Samaches, that again, while he's sitting in the mikvah, before he's taiva, we tell him again, mixes mitzvahs kalas, mixes mitzvahs chamuras. So if you look in Sif Yud Beis, which seems to parallel the Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, that's the only place it's found in the Gemara. And Krishas is not found at all. Milo Tvila Karban. The only place we have it is in the Gemara Yevamos Medina, so Mixas Mitzvahs Kalas, Mixas Mitzvahs Chamurois. However, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Yud Beis, he quotes from the Rambam, if we didn't check after him, we didn't tell him the mitzvahs, and he does milah and tefillah, the geirus is good. So what does that mean? Does that mean kabbalas ol mitzvahs is not a critical part of geirus? It's perhaps indicated by the Gemara in Krisis. That's why it's not mentioned. It's only mentioned in the Gemara in Yevamos, and the Rambam tells us hadas mixes mitzvahs chalas mixes mitzvahs chamuros is not miyakev. What does that mean? Kabbalas ol mitzvahs is not miyakev. So if you look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifka and Tess, he just looked, he says, look in the Tshuvah Shem de Shlomo, which is the most important Mar Makom in all of Hilchos Geiros over here. So in the Shem de Shlomo, he tells you that there's a difference here. There's a difference between the formality of Hodas, Mixas, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mixas, Mitzvahs, Chamuras, the fact that Beis Din has to officially, you know, inform him. That's a formality. And that formality, says the Rambam, is not Miyakev. But the fact that he actually accepts to do the mitzvahs, that, of course, is critical. You can't have Geiros without Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. So Soloveitchik quotes this in the Sefer Kol Dodi Dofek. It's actually a long footnote, I believe, where he quotes there from his father, from Moshe Soloveitchik. Moshe quotes the same thing, actually, it's interesting, from his father, from David Feinstein. Chaim Moser quotes this Chem de Shlomo as well, and makes a big deal about it, that of course Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is critical to the Geirus. That's not what the Rambam here means when he says Hodos Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalos Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamuros is not Miyakev. That means the formality. But of course, actually accepting to do the mitzvahs is critical. Just identifying as a Jew is not good enough. Rav Saadia Gaon writes in his Sefer Amunos Videos that we are a nationality, that's true, but we're a nationality, it's apropos to the time that we find ourselves in. We are a nationality, but we're also an ideology. And you cannot have the nationality without the ideology. And our ideology is Torah. That's our ideology. So you can't have, I want to identify as a Jew, historically and nationally. That cannot exist without the Torah, writes Rav Saadia Gaon. Rav Moshe makes this point in Igros Moshe, where he writes, he quotes the Medrash, the Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Mitzrayim in the schus of four things, three of which were Shaleshinu, Shemam, Lashoinam, and Malbusham. They didn't change their names, the way they speak in the vernacular, they didn't change the way their mode of dress. So Ezra Moshe, you know, these things are, he doesn't think these things are included in Chukas HaKom. So these things are really not, you know, Halachos, you can speak in the vernacular. You want to take a secular name. Rav Moshe is not endorsing it, but it's not an Isser of Chukas HaKom. Rav Moshe argues that you can change the way that we dress as long as they're not within certain stand, you know, certain limits. So why were we only redeemed from this time in this course of these three things? So Rav Moshe explains, because before Matan Torah, all we had was these cultural things that separated us from Egyptian culture. But says Rav Moshe, after Kabbalah HaTorah, these things became less important. Because now we are separated, we're unique by virtue of the Torah. The Torah is what defines us as a nation. So too, argues of Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe, Chaim Moser, everyone endorses this true of the Chem de Shloimei, that there's a difference between the formality of Hodos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chalos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamurus, and actually accepting to do the Mitzvahs. That, of course, is critical. If Soloveitchik goes on, yeah. I can show it to you. If Soloveitchik goes on, and he notes that there seems to be a machlekes, though, between Tosfos and the Rambam as to the nature of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. Of course, it's critical, but what role does it play? Because Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos Daf Mem Beis, a discussion about which Rabbi Samogravsky mentioned at length, about a woman who thinks that she's Jewish, and it turns out that she's not. Gemara wants to know that she has to now have to now go through a process of Geirus anew. So Gemara says, well, Milo Tavla Linidusa, didn't she go all the years that she thought she was Jewish? Didn't she go to the mikvah for Nidus? So Tosfos asks, and not Gemara, but as we'll see soon, that in order to have a kosher geirus, the geirus has to take place bifnei Beis Din. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Emor, mishpat echad yilochem, that Gemara learns out a connection, Masechtas Yevamos, between dinei mamonos and geirus. That just like dinei mamonos needs a Beis Din of three, so too geirus requires a Beis Din of three. So as Tosfos, even though she went to mikvah for nidus, there were not three men present when she went to the mikvah for tefillas nidus, a mikvah lady, yes, but no, there were not three men to constitute a Beis Din. So Taisus there argues that perhaps the whole requirement of Beis Din, Meikra Din, Li'ikuva, is only with regards to Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. That's the main thrust, the main primary stage of Gerus, is Kabbalah's own mitzvahs, and that's what you need the Beis Din for. Presumably, therefore, you had a Beis Din to show that she was keeping the mitzvahs, and that should be sufficient. However, Ramayshan Soloveitchik noted that it sounds like for the Rambam, the Kabbalah's own mitzvahs is not the most important stage of Gerus. For Taisus, it's a stage. It's like Mila, Tvila, Karban, Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. And the most important one, the one that requires the Beis Din, is Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. However, for the Rambam, and to be honest, that's the implication of the Gemara in Krisus. If Taisus is right, why didn't the Gemara in Krisus mention it? It should have been clearly mentioned along with Mila, Tvila, Karban, Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. That's the most important one. However, the Gemara in Krisus doesn't mention it.
Daf Testament
Aleph. So Moshe Soloveitchik suggested because perhaps Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs is not the most important stage of Gerus. It is the context of all which Gerus takes place. It's the framework of Gerus. Gerus makes no sense. The very meaning of the word of Gerus is not that you have in mind to get wet in a mikvah, but Gerus means that you have in mind to attach yourself to the Torah and the mitzvahs. It's the context, the prerequisite for everything else. And the Rambam therefore feels that it's not a stage of Gerus. The most important stage of Gerus, it's not a stage of Gerus at all, it's the entire context of Gerus. It could be that there's an afkamina between not only how to learn that Gemara about Miloy Tavlu Nidusa, but it could be that there's an afkamina, another afkamina between Taisus and the Rambam that is discussed with regards to Shaila that's discussed by Dain Grosnas in his Truvas Lev Arye. Rav Asher Weiss has this as well in his Sefer Minchas Asher. On Gemara, maybe Shabbos, I think in Masechet Shabbos. Where he discusses the shaila about a person who's a cheresh. He's a deaf mute or something, you know, deaf. Can he, who's not chayv and mitzvahs, make her adin? Cheresh shayta v'kata, not chayv and mitzvahs. So can he convert? Nah, you're telling me mitzvahs. Lo yisaseh, he's chayv and the whole discussion. Okay, fine. But he's not chayv and mitzvahs. Can a person convert who's not chayv and mitzvahs? So ger katam, we have matvil no soya das beis din, but what about cheresh shayta? Can they convert?
Why are they different than each?
Why are they different than... He's not chayv mitzvahs kisha. A woman's chayv mitzvahs. He's pater and mitzvahs, cheresh. So shaila is, can you have gerus without kabbalah's own mitzvahs? So they both write, perhaps, according to Tosfos, they cannot convert. Because kabbalah's own mitzvahs for Tosfos is a stage. So you actually have to be accepting something. He's not accepting anything. Because he's not chayv mitzvahs. So how can we speak about a kabbalah's own mitzvahs by the cheresh? But according to the Rambam, that it's just a context. Meaning I want to come and attach myself to the Torah, whatever the Torah has to say to me. I don't actually have to accept something formally, you know, because it's a stage of Gerus. For Taisus, perhaps you have to accept something. If there's nothing there to accept, you can't have the most important stage. But for the Rambam, that is just the mindset of the Ger at the time of Gerus, perhaps it's enough with the mindset. He doesn't actually have to accept anything practically. Yeah.
Wow.
Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. You're going even further, it's Lepanovich, I don't know. Since, though, getting back to the Chemda Shlomo, so the Chemda Shlomo told us Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, of course, is critical, but this formality of Modino, so Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuros, that is not Miyake. But 1 minute, let's just take stock of what took place. So that means, could you have a Ger who converts, who doesn't know any about any Torah and Mitzvahs? He says, yeah, I accept. What are you accepting? We didn't tell you anything. According to the Chemda Shlomo, Hodos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamur is not Miyake. You don't have to do that. Harei Zegir, says the Shulchan Aruch. So the guy says, I accept. So he's accepting. So says, does that mean we have a reasonable expectation that he's actually going to perform the Mitzvahs? He has no idea what he's accepting. There was no Hodos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos. That's not Miyake. Hodos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs. That's not Miyake. So do we actually have to have a reasonable expectation that he's going to perform the Mitzvahs? So there is a well-known tshuva from Ben Sion Uziel, who was one of the former chief rabbis of Israel, in a sefer called Piske Uziel, where he makes the lone person to make this argument, makes a very controversial statement that perhaps you see from here, he just has to accept Torah and mitzvahs, even though we have no reasonable expectation that he's actually going to keep them. The haraya is, he doesn't even know what he's accepting. He brings a raya also from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos at the beginning of the seventh parakh that Gemara discusses how many karbonos do you have to bring if you didn't know about Shabbos, you didn't know about a certain malacha, you know. So the Gemara says, if you didn't know about Shabbos entirely, you only bring one chatas for all the malachas that you violated. because it was really one haloma. He didn't know about Shabbos. So says the Gemara, how could you have a Jew who doesn't know about Shabbos? First question. So the Gemara says, well, you could have a Tinok Shenishba, Bein HaNochrim. A Tinok who was taken captive and raised by Nochrim. Or the Gemara suggests you could have a Ger Shenizgayer Bein HaNochrim. A Ger who converted amongst Nochrim. So he asks, and then he doesn't know about Shabbos. So he asks Tysus, how could he convert amongst Nochrim? Where's the Beis Din? And if there was a Beis Din, they didn't tell him about Shabbos? So says Tysus, yes, there was a Beis Din, and they didn't tell him about Shabbos. Kacha, what? So difficult. They didn't tell him about Shabbos? What did they tell him already then? What's more important than Shabbos? But that's Tosfos Pshat. The Ramban and the Ritva right over there. No, you see from here, it was a Beis Din, but Hodos mitzvos mitzvos kalos, mitzvos mitzvos kamurus. It's not Miyakov. They didn't tell him about anything. He knew no mitzvos when he converted. So he asked Uziel, how could he convert if he doesn't know any mitzvos? Gershon is guy Ben Anachar means it was a Beis Din there, but they told him nothing. To say that they told him mitzvos and left out Shabbos, they find that untenable. If they're going to tell him mitzvos, they told him Shabbos. But they didn't tell him anything. They didn't know Hodos mitzvos, but they forgot about that stage. So says of Uziel, how could they convert? There's no reasonable expectation they're going to keep Torah and mitzvahs. That's his argument. And Rav Moshe disagrees vehemently with this suggestion. Rav Moshe quotes, unaware of the arguments of Rav Uziel, but he asked the very same question on that Gemara and Shabbos. How could he convert without the knowing about any of the mitzvahs? A Gershon has been enough, but doesn't know about anything. So Rav Moshe says, of course you need a reasonable expectation he's going to keep the mitzvahs. How could he convert, though, if he doesn't know what he's accepting? Says Rav Moshe, even if we tell him, mixes mitzvahs kalos, mixes mitzvahs chamuros, there's no way he's going to know about everything upon conversion. What Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is about is that he will accept to do whatever we'll tell him. And we have to reasonably expect that he will do whatever we will tell him. The conclusion of Rav Uziel is not correct. It has to be that we can reasonably expect that whatever we'll tell him to do, he will do. Rabbi Tendler used to compare it to a person who signs up for the army. He says, they don't tell you when you sign up, you know, what everything you're going to be expected to do on your tour of duty. They can't possibly foresee that. But when you sign up for the army, you accept to do whatever they'll tell you. So too, that's how Rabbi Shah understood this Gemara. What it means is that that's how he understood Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Without Hodos, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos. Even if they tell you, they only tell you some. What it means is that we reasonably expect that you're going to do whatever we'll tell you to do. Because a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs that's lacking even slightly is not a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. As Sabogovsky mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Becharis that a person who's Megayer, Chutz Midavar Echad, a person who's Megayer and he accepts to do mitzvahs, but except for one thing, he doesn't like, you know, Tzayim Gedalia, Shivasa Batamas, he can't handle that. No, forget it, I'm converting, no Tzayim Gedalia. It says the Gemara, even if it's Midivrei Seifrim, even if it's Midrabanan, the Geirus is no good. It has to be a complete Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Rav Chaim Eiser asked, as Rabbi Savlovsky mentioned, let's say we ask him, my friend, do you think you're ever going to speak Lashon Hara? If he's honest, then he'll say, I'm sure I will. You're going to speak Lashon Hara. How is any Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs good if he knows at the outset he's going to speak Lashon Hara? So says Rav Chaim Eiser, no, what it means is he accepts to do, again, same idea. I accept to do all the mitzvahs. I understand. Sometimes I won't be able to be Oymid Bin Isoyan. So says Reb Chaim Eiser, those are two very different things. Accepting to do the mitzvahs, that's what Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is all about. I accept to do all of them. Sometimes I understand I won't be able to be Oymid Bin Isoyan. Okay, so that's welcome to Kabbalah, you know, Shmiras HaMitzvahs, the Nisyanis of life. Okay. So those are two very different things. The difference between an Aveira versus not accepting in the first place. Where Moshe has a similar tshuva, yeah.
Rav Uziel, he said that There must be an
expectation
that he...
No, Rav Uziel argues, which is the basis for a lot of some of the controversy you hear about nowadays going on in Geirus, that some have adopted his position on the far left, have adopted his position and argued, we don't have to reasonably expect. The guy says, yeah, I'm going to do it. Good, we're done.
Right.
Even though we know it's a joke. We don't reasonably expect he's going to do it. Oh, Kava Haraya is no Geir, knows about all the mitzvahs. That's their argument. But Rav Moshe disagrees. He says, no, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is accepting whatever we'll do when we have to, you know, when he'll find out about it. We have to reasonably expect it.
With a baseline of, for Moshe, we should learn something.
Yeah, you should learn some stuff. We'll get to that, yeah. Rav Moshe is a similar tshuva about a woman who was Megayer, and then She later came back to her Marsha because she was afraid her Geiris wasn't good, because she said she knew at the time of the Geiris that she had a convention on Yom Tov Sheni. And she was afraid that she knew in her mind that she might not be able to resist the temptation of going to the Geiris, going to the convention on Yom Tov Sheni, and Taka, she actually went to the convention on Yom Tov Sheni. So she was afraid that her Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was lacking. Rav Moshe again told her, you accepted to do the Mitzvahs. You understand? You had a Nisoyan. I'm going on Yom Tov Sheni. So that's different than performing an Aveira is different than not accepting to do something in the first place. However, Reb Chaim Oizer does draw a line in the sand, as Rav Sabolovsky mentioned, and this is articulated more fully by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman in his Malamed L'Hoyol, where he's the one who provides us with the line in the sand, practically, which is that you cannot do this with regards to Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras Mishpacha. You can't say, I really accept Taras Mishpacha, just it never works out every month. You know, I really accept Shabbos every week, I got a Nisayan, you know, going to the diner. You can't have that. That's already, at that point, is an e-Kabbalah. But if why those three? So Rav David Tzvi Hoffman explains, because those three are the ones that we encounter most often in a Jewish daily life. Everything else happens. But this is the basis of what we call being a firm Yid, is Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, and Mishpacha. However, it sounds like you have to have Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, which is complete. And many Paisim understand they have to reasonably expect that the person, and that's the standard approach, have to reasonably expect the person is going to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. The problem is, the Ger says to us, yes, I accept. Now, what do we know? Do we know what he has in his heart? We don't know. It's hard for us to know. So writes Reb Chaim Oizer that we have to take most people at their word. How can we take him at his word? Maybe he means in his heart not to be accepted to do the Torah and the Mitzvahs, or Reb Chaim Oizer tells us, but we have a concept in the Gemara and Kiddushin. Sobolovsky mentioned, they're called Dvarim Shabalev, Einam Dvarim. What you're thinking in your heart when you make a transaction is not binding unless you articulate it. The person sells a home because he has a mind to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then his relocation falls through. He cannot back out on the sale unless he stipulated that the sale should be dependent on him moving to Eretz Yisrael. Because you didn't say it. Dvarim Shabalev, Einam Dvarim. So as long as the person says that he plans to keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs, we can take him at his word. At the same time, Reb Chaim Oizer suggests that perhaps Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim shouldn't apply here, because all of Geirus is Dvarim Shebelev. The Dvar Avraham makes a similar argument, but Reb Chaim Oizer is unsure if we should go that far. Probably apply the concept of Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim, and we take people at their word. At the same time, Reb Moshe quotes in the name of his father, that if there's an umdana demuchach, the Gemara says certain things you don't have to stipulate at the time of the sale. The fact that there should be an engine in the car when I buy it. I don't have to say, when I buy the car, oh, by the way, there's an engine, right? And if I don't say that, he could say, oh, you had in mind an engine? Don't you believe in it? You have to, certain things you don't have to stipulate. It's so obvious, umdana demuchach. Believe or believe ko adam. So Sotu says, Ramesh, if there's an umdana demuchach, that the guy doesn't mean what he's saying, his kabbalah sol mitzvahs is lacking. Ramesh gives the example of the fact that a person, let's say, is converting to marry a non-Jewish, a non-religious spouse. You have a guy converting to marry a Jew, yes, but they're not religious. So this guy claims, while the ger, I plan to keep Torah and Mitzvahs, while their spouse, who's Jewish, does not keep Torah and Mitzvahs. So Moshe says, it is possible, that the ger, and often happens, will bring their Jewish spouse closer to Yiddishkeit. But that's not a reasonable expectation. If the Jewish from birth, you know, is not keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, you can't accept the guy who's not Jewish from birth to be more religious than their Jewish spouse. Or Moshe claims that's an umdana demuchach, believe of Lev Kol Adam, that is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is disingenuous. Or Rabbi Sabolovsky gave the example of the opera singer or the veterinarian, where their very profession doesn't allow them to keep Torah and Mitzvahs properly, then we would say that's an umdana demuchach and the geirus would be no good. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Even if that's the level of the Yom Tov Sheni movement, that the point is that would still be a problem.
Yom Tov Sheni, they would equate.
I mean, like, if you're Beshita not accepting anything, even beyond Shabbos and Kashrus.
Oh, if you're Beshita not accepting Tzayim Gedalia.
So what's unique about that? That even if it's like, I don't think I'll be Omi Ben Yisayon, it's still a problem? I mean, what's the gedder that makes Shabbos Kashrus really unique?
Because you encounter them in Jewish daily life. Tzom Gedalia is once a year, day after Rosh Hashanah.
We're saying even Tzom Gedalia is a problem.
Oh, because a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs has to be absolute. You have to do whatever we tell you. But, let's say a guy knows, I would like to not speak Lashon Hara. I'm, lack self-control a little bit.
So that's like a
Right. Or the Unterman has a tshuva in his Shevet Miyehuda where he discusses a common case in Eretz Yisrael of a person, a Russian, wants to convert, but they don't live in a religious kibbutz. In a non-religious kibbutz, there's no kosher foods. I'll be a vegetarian. And, you know, I'll have my own pots and pans and this and that. So Vunderman claims, come on, at that point, non-religious kibbutz, how do you expect to keep Torah mitzvahs? So a person lives in the boondocks. You know, there's no Jewish infrastructure around you. Kosher supermarket, how can you possibly expect a person to keep Torah mitzvahs? At that point, it's almost an umdin of the muchach that they'll not be able to keep Torah mitzvahs. Why you Torah? Introduced, you might be familiar with this more than I am, a few years ago, I don't even know when they started this, so you can ask questions, random people listen to shiurim can ask questions, somehow guess to the person who gave the shiur. So on one of these shiurim from, I don't know, 5 years ago, some woman emailed me afterwards, she was Gavi Megayer in New Zealand, and the Beis Din, I don't know where the community is, I guess in Auckland, wanted her to move to Auckland to convert. Do I think that that's fair? She lives mamish, you know, in the sticks over there. So I said, yes, every Beis Din in the world will ask you if you have to live in a Jewish community. How do you expect them to keep Torah mitzvahs if you don't live within a Jewish community? It's almost an umdin in the muchach that you'll not keep Torah mitzvahs. Okay, so you have to have a Kabbalah Torah mitzvahs that is complete, and we have to have a reasonable expectation that you're going to keep Torah mitzvahs. This is perhaps, though, this concern that the Kabbalah Torah mitzvahs will be lacking is the basis for the concern of the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, which is quoted over here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis, that Hanitan al Hashivcha, a person who is suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, wants to convert. I'm sorry. Person is suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, and the Jewish non-Jewish woman wants to convert, or the reverse. Would we allow that person to convert? So says the Gemara, any person who's converting where we're suspicious that they're doing so because of an ulterior motive, l'chadchilah, we cannot accept him as a ger. We'll see in a second, b'di'evah, the gerus is good, but l'chadchilah, you should not accept them as a ger if they're being megayah for an ulterior motive. Tosis on that Gemara, Masechta the Yevamos, Mishnah, Chavdal and Mebez, already asked from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Masechta the Shabbos, famous Gemara, of Hillel.
Huh? Shabbos where?
Oh, I think it's stuff.
Mamigimel.
Yeah. Where the it was a person who was standing outside of the Beis Hamedrash, and he heard them discussing the fantastic begadim of the Kohen Gadol. And he said, "Wow, who gets to wear these elaborate begadim?" And they walked into the Beis Hamedrash, and they told him the Kohen Gadol gets to wear them. So he said, "Geirani Manasha, yeah, Kohen Gadol. I want to convert. I'm going to I'll be the Kohen Gadol." So Shammai, of course, was not tolerant of these types of discussions, and he threw him out. Hillel was more accepting, and Hillel was megayer him. Then Hillel said, "You know what? Before you become the Kohen Gadol, why don't you sit down and learn a little bit?" So the guy sat down, and he learned Chumash. He got up to the pasuk, "Hazar HaKarev Yumas," the foreigner who brings a carbon is put to death. He asked, "Who does this apply to?" They told him, "Even David Melch Yisrael brings a carbon is put to death." So he realized that even David Melch Yisrael cannot become a Kohen, I certainly cannot become the Kohen Gadol. And he abandoned that dream, but he remained a from Yid. So I asked Tysus on that Gemara Yevamos, how was Hillel able to be Megayim? The guy said, Geirani Menashe Yeh Kohen Gadol. So Tysus says that Hillel knew, not Beruach HaKadosh, doesn't mean Ruach HaKadosh, Hillel knew, but from his understanding of people, that this person ultimately was going to accept to do Torah and Mitzvahs sincerely. So Tysus says, you see that the Dayan has a little bit of latitude here, where he can tell that even though this person might be initially motivated by an ulterior motive, but he can tell that ultimately he'll accept the Torah mitzvah sincerely, we can't accept him. Tysus formulates it as Hakol Fira Isene Hadayan. And this is quoted by the Shach over here in Sefkat and Chav Gimel from the Beis Yosef, that the Dayanim have a little bit of latitude over here to accept people who are being Megayer for ulterior motives, if they can tell that ultimately they will be sincere. It's not ideal. But much of Gairus nowadays you could be, yeah, of course you have not. You know, in cases of people come, you know, entirely, other, you know, totally Lushma, but you have some time, many times, that there are other factors mixed in, but if the Beis Din can tell the person who ultimately keep Torah and Mitzvahs, we can accept them. Another, that's up to the Beis Din. Another, perhaps, play, you know, Mokum of. The Hakel over here is quoted by Reb Chaim Moshe in his Tshuva Nachi Ezer. Everything from Nachi Ezer is in one Tshuva that we quoted, and we'll quote from the Achiezer. You should be familiar with that tshuva. So in that one tshuva from Chaim Meiser, same appears in Melam Elohayo from David Tzvi Hachman, they quote from Reb Shlomo Kluger, but let's say a person is already married to them civilly. You have a Jew and a non-Jew in a civil marriage. And now they say, you know what, we want to become frumer, wants to convert. Why does she want to convert? Because she's married to a Jewish man. But they're already married. So therefore says, how can you speak about it as an ulterior motive so we can get married? They are married already. So Shlomo Kluger says, if you are married already, perhaps we can allow them to get converted. We wouldn't call that for an ulterior motive. At the same time, we don't want to reward people for doing something that's wrong. So we don't want people to get civilly married so that we won't to sidestep this problem in Geirus. So we have to be careful. Shlomo Hechayte Ininskar. But that is perhaps another makom of leniency. Rabbi Goren suggested another possibility. The whole reason we don't accept Geirim, if they're converting for an ulterior motive, is we're afraid, suspicious, that the Kabbalah's all mitzvahs will be less than complete. However, he argues, he says, if you look throughout the Gemara, Talmud Bavli, you'll see numerous times the phrase, Kashim Geirim Yisrael Kesapachas. Geirim is difficult for Klal Yisrael as a blister. Why? Because they don't keep Torah and mitzvahs properly. That's the pasha to the explanation. Tosfos says no, because they keep Torah and mitzvahs better than us, and they make us look bad. And there's truth to that as well. But the simple explanation is because they don't accept Torah and mitzvahs completely, and then it becomes a problem. However, Rabbi Goren knows that throughout the Talmud Bavli we have it. We don't have it in the Talmud Yerushalmi even once. Kashrim Geirim Yisrael Kesapacha. So Rabbi Goren suggests, speculates, perhaps because in Eretz Yisrael, like every ger is mekabel to do Torah and mitzvahs completely. How could you possibly fathom a ger in Eretz Yisrael who wouldn't accept to do Torah and mitzvahs? Can't imagine such a thing. So he says, in Eretz Yisrael, this rule doesn't apply. You could accept gerim if they're coming for an ulterior motive, because either way, of course they'll accept to do Torah and mitzvahs. Whoever heard of a ger in Eretz Yisrael is not accepting to do Torah and mitzvahs. So Rabbi Bleich, in one of the volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems, quotes this from Rabbi Goren, and he thinks it's confusing identifying nationally as a Jew with Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. Yes, I agree, he'll identify nationally as a Jew. Accepting the Torah and mitzvahs, we have many times Gerim in Eretz Yisrael whose Kabbalah's own mitzvahs is lacking. So he doesn't think that that's necessarily a makom lahakel. The Gemara, though, does tell us that Bidiyavid, Reb Nechemya held the Geirus is no good. The guy converts for an ulterior motive. We're so suspicious that the Kabbalah's own mitzvahs is insincere that the Geirus is no good. However, the Gemara concludes Bidiyavid Kulam Gerim Heim. The Geirus is good, Bidiyavid. Even though he was converted for an ulterior motive. Why is the Geirus good but the Eved? If he's no Kabbalah, so mitzvahs, Geirus is no good. So the Ritva explains, because Agav Unsayhu Gamer Vekibo. He's going to have to live in a Jewish community, and there'll be so much communal pressure that there's no way he'll be able to not keep Torah and mitzvahs. So Rabbi Herzog, in his Tshuvas, the Heichel Yitzchok, the same is found in the Tvar of Rome, questioned whether or not this applies in our social context. If you live in New Square, this might be true. You cannot exist, or certain parts of Bnei Brak, and maybe you cannot exist without accepting Torah and mitzvahs completely. They'll ostracize you there's so much communal pressure. In our communities, though, this is not really the case. You can live very happily not accepting Torah and mitzvahs. It will not be overwhelming communal pressure. So can we really assume that the halakha of the Gemara continues to apply is an interesting question. No one has decided that it does not apply, but it's an interesting point that can be made. But the Yevah, the Mice of the Geirus is good. However, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, look over here, Sif Yud Beis, again quoting from the Rambam, that when a person converts and we don't know why he's converting, or afilu know there should be Yisrael Dover whom his guy, should be Bishvil Dover whom his guy, I know he's converting for an ulterior motive. He is, he's converting for an ulterior motive. Ho Malva Tala Yatim Echlawav Dekachavim. Since he was at Geirus, Malva Tala, the Geirus is good. But adds the Rambam, and it's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, Choshish and Loy Asher Tizpar Tzukusai. We follow after him, and we continue to be suspicious whether his Geirus is good. I mean, he performed the Geirus, so Kulam Geirumim, but the Ever the Geirus is good. But says the Rambam, there's a follow up meeting. Choshish and Loy Asher Tizpar Tzukusai. What happens if we catch him? He's worshiping Avodah Zarah again, says the Shulchan Aruch, Afiyu Chazav Avodah Lilim Harayu Ki Yisrael Mumar. Shekidush of Kiddushim, he's Yisrael Shechata Alpha P. Shechata Yisrael, who he's a bona fide Jew. So then why do we bother following up with him? That's the problem in the Rambam. What do we mean? Chayshishin lo yeshu tisparas ikusa. We're suspicious of him. And if we catch him being oivid of a desire, so the gerus is still good.
Doesn't he say we won't let you marry a Jew?
It says kiddush of kiddushim. We need a get.
Okay.
So what's going on? A conundrum in the Rambam. So Rabbi Goren has a suggestion, which Rabbi Moshe also has. The question is in the Shir. Almost everyone says the same explanation for the Rambam, and that is that there's a difference in timeline over here. What the Rambam means is, immediately after Cheshem lo yeshu tisparas ikusa, and if we find out that he's not keeping Torah and mitzvahs properly, even though initially we took him at his word, but now, you know, after he walks out of the tefillah, he says, ha-ha, you know, I tricked you, I fooled you, and he goes and he celebrates the Geirus and the Red Lobster and McDonald's, and then we'll undo the Geirus. We can't undo a Geirus L'mafreya, because obviously the Geirus was no good. He was insincere when he said to do the Torah and mitzvahs at the time. We're not undoing the Geirus L'mafreya. There was no Geirus. He never accepted to do Torah and mitzvahs. But if it's a big time gap in between, so then his Kabbalah Torah mitzvahs was valid and did stick for a certain period of time, even if later on, Chazav Avad Alilim, after this initial test period, he's Chazav Avad Alilim, then the Rambam tells us that he's a Yisrael Mumar, and Kiddushav would be Kiddushim. But again, the time window over here, when we can undo the Geirus and assume that his Geirus at the time was no good, is the source for much controversy in our time. You might be familiar, yeah?
Could that be based on, maybe you could say it's like a one-day window, like the Gemara and Makos, about how Amdul Yome,
Amdul Yome? Shatel suggested 30 days. It's a round number, and we find it in other areas of Halacha. I don't know why one would be compelled to say one or the other. I think the Bate did work off some model like that. It means within reason. But this is the source of much controversy. There was a famous celebrated case back in the early 1970s called the case of the brother and the sister, about a woman named Chava Langer who was married in Russia before she emigrated to Eretz Yisrael to a man, Borkovsky, who was a ger. And she left Russia without receiving a get. She moved to Eretz Yisrael, married a man, Langer, and had two children with that man, Langer, in Eretz Yisrael. But she never received a get from Borkovsky back in Russia. So this later came out, the children signed up for the army, and they looked into the lineage of the family, and found out that she never received a get from their first husband. So perhaps the children should be mamzerim. And this became a national issue in the press. The two mamzerim, what can we do for them? Golda Meir got involved. Well, a lot happened. So the Rabbanut held, at the head of the Rabbanut at that time was Rabbi Yashiv, held that they were mamzerim. And Rabbi Goren, who was the chief rabbi of the army, went all the way back to Russia, and everyone did research, and there was edus and testimony and witnesses. He said Borkovsky never accepted Torah and mitzvahs. He was eating in trefa restaurants and things like that. That his Kabbalah Torah mitzvahs was afterwards. He demonstrated it was no good. Question is, when did that happen? Everyone agreed that happened. Did it happen too late? Did it happen right away? A whole machlokes erupted. And because of that, they ended up passing Rabbi Goren that they're not mamzerim. Because of that, Rabbi Goren, I'm not saying because of that, right after that, became appointed as the chief rabbi in 1973, and Rabbi Yashiv left Rabbanut because of that one case back in 1973. Ironically, nowadays, it's the Talmidim Rabbi Yashiv, this is Rabbi Sherman, who is more involved with... Now, they're the ones who are undoing the Geirusin, saying that the Kabbalah Tal Mitzvahs was not sincere, and the Geirus is no good. But it all depends on how... if you're interested in the details of that case, Rabbi Rakefet has a whole shiur with all the gory details.
Also, in the autobiography of Rabbi Yashiv, they tell the other side of the story.
Other side of the story. I didn't tell what either side. I tried to be fair. Anyway, but this is the source of much of the controversy. Yeah.
How much does the Beis Din grill prospective converts?
They do, and they do background checks.
Motives.
Background checks, and they grill, and they do research.
To be able to ascertain if
yes.
all the motives and...
Yes. Yes. And whether you actually be sincere.
And there's no real chakir afterwards, though, is there, or follow?
Of course there is.
Yeah?
Sure. Standard pre-deceased. I believe. Again, I'm not. I don't
they
do this.
They tell them to come in the year. They dress up in a kippah. And then
I believe they have regular meetings afterwards. Yes.
By sincere, we mean that we know they're actually going to keep it, or that they're going to do it with the Shema.
I don't get why they're doing it. They have to keep the mitzvahs.
So then sure. Even if we know they're doing it for some other reason, that 100% they'll keep it, that's okay.
Yeah, they're keeping it. They're keeping it, yeah. We would hope he's believing, too. That's part of Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. If he's a proclaimed heretic, that's a problem. However, the Mishnah there continues, even though we shouldn't accept them as a gerim. B'di'evet, if we accepted them, the gerus is good, but the Mishnah continues that Bezin cannot allow them to get married, even though the gerus is good. They can't get married. Another halacha there. And that same Mishnah, Chavdal and Mebez. Why can't the Bezin allow them to get married, even if the gerus is good? Lamai said the gerus is good. Why can't they get married? So Rashi explains that it's because of Lazos Fasayim. They'll be confirming the rumor. There was a rumor here, they were suspected of converting because they had a prior relationship, a Jew and a non-Jew. And Rashi says, if they'll marry afterwards, they'll be confirming the rumor. What's so bad about confirming the rumor? So Chaim Ozer and Ramayisha both explain, based on the Gemara and Yuma and Daf Peivav and Meralef, they're not supposed to be Mepharsim Echait. Pasuk, where quotes a contradiction to Tupsukim. Pasuk says in Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei Noisei Pesh, Pshoav Kisui Chato. You're supposed to cover over your chatoim, and then the pasuk doesn't say for mishlei mechasep pshav lo yatzliach. If you cover over your averus, you won't succeed. So Gemara says habechet meforsim, habechet sheinu meforsim. If it's a chet meforsim, you're supposed to do tshuva in public. If it's a chet sheinu meforsim, mi akalpa. If it's a chet sheinu meforsim, you're supposed to keep it quiet. And over here, this is not meforsim. We should not be mefarsim chatoim. Because of that, Rav Moshe and Rav Chaim Moser both suggest: what if the couple was living together before? Yeah. It is meforsim already. It's not suspected of having a relationship. We know they're having a relationship. So then perhaps you lose nothing by allowing them to get married. So that was once for some person suggested, even if the person converted for an ulterior motive to get married, we can't allow them to get married afterwards. Again, but we don't want to encourage people to have relationships with non-Jewish women so that they'll have an easier time when the gayrus comes around. We have to make sure to avoid that. Reb Chaim Moser, though, does quote another tzad l'hakel, from a tshuva of Shlomo Kluger in the Tuv Tam Vadas, where he quotes from a tshuva of the Rambam, that perhaps if they're going to remain married civilly anyway, or they're not married yet, but they will get married. Meaning if they come, they say, if you don't, we're not going to perform the gerus and allow them to get married subsequently, forget it, we'll just live together as not Jew and non-Jew. So then we don't. Perhaps we'll violate this little Issa Midrabanan of allowing them to get married afterwards. We know it's an Issa on the Beis Din in order to save this couple from violating the Issa Bayos Hanachris, Bayos Haramis. We'll perform a little Issa in order to save them from a bigger Issa. That is a Lomdusha question. If you ever learned the first parak of Masechet Shabbos, we don't say Chatei Bishvil Shatiske Chavercha. This is an Issa on the Beis Din. And they're doing it in order to save the couple from being violating the Isser of having relations with a non-Jew. But the Rambam does allow it. That's only, though, if they're going to actually keep Torah and Mitzvot when they convert. If they're going to convert, if they say, you don't convert, we'll live together, be Isser. Such a couple, after they convert, she's going to go to the mikvah. They're already holding by, we're going to live together, be Isser, beforehand. When they convert, she's going to go to the mikvah. And if she's not going to go to the mikvah, we're being machshel them in Isurim by converting her. Because the Isur Nida is worse than the Isur Bayos HaRamis. So Chaim Moser makes the point that we have to be confident that they're going to keep Torah and Mitzvot when they ultimately will convert. If Reb Chaim Moser, though, does say, if the person says, convert me, and allow me to get married to this person who's now a non-Jew, or convert my prospective spouse and allow us to get married afterwards, or we're going to go to the Reform. So says Reb Chaim Moser, we don't capitulate to that kind of argument. Want to go to the Reform? Go to the Reform. Even though there is a mitzvah to be Megara Gerim, and we're not in the business of being Megara Gerim. So you want to go to the Reform? We don't kowtow to that kind of pressure. Okay, getting back to the Seder of Gerim. Okay, so after a person says he wants to join Klal Yisrael, so we do, and we give him hodas, mixes, mitzvahs, kalos, mixes, mitzvahs, chamurais. The first time we do it again in the mikvah, but the first time, and then right after the initial hodas, mixes, mitzvahs, kalos, mixes, mitzvahs, chamurais, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, the malon oisei miyad. We do the mila right away, and then you have to wait afterwards, once the mila is healed, to perform the tefillah. So Tosfos says it sounds like from that Gemara that the mila has to come before the tefillah, and Tosfos claims that the Seder is me'akev. You can't do it in the reverse. You can't have the tefillah before the milah. The Rama in Sif Aleph, though, quotes from the Ramban, who disagrees that the Seder is not miyakev. You could do the tefillah before the meal, and he's a raya from the uberish and izgaro, the pregnant woman, the pregnant non-Jewish woman who converts, that the Gemara says, benoyin atzarach tefillah. Her son does not require tefillah because he was yotze tefillah with the mother. But then it does require milah. So says the Ramban, so his tefillah that he was yotze with his mother is happening first. Then the milah is going to happen after he's born. So he's yotze tefillah with the mother, milah happens after. Don't you see that the Seder is not miyakev? So Taisvis disagrees, and Mukha Yosef quotes in the name of the Ra'ah that they had a different pshat than that Gemara, Muberish and his Gairo. It's not that Katan is Yaitse Tfila with the mother, and then his Mila is a Mila's Gairus afterwards. No. The child becomes like a limb of the mother. He's like in a keva. So he converts entirely with Tfila alone, just like the mother. And the Mila that's performed afterwards would have to be performed on the eighth day, and it's a regular Mila's Yisrael. Mila's Gairus doesn't necessarily need the eighth day. But it would be a Milas Yisrael. It's not a Milas Geirus after he's born. He converted entirely with the tefillah. The Ramban does not like that because the Gemara says, Muberish and Izgaira, Bina ein atzarach tefillah. Her son doesn't require tefillah. Say Bita. If it's treated like a girl, it should say Bita, not Bina. That's the argument of the Ramban. Okay, but Lamai says two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, and we, of course, are machmir on this. The Achronim, though, understand that there is a lamdash of machlekes going on here between not only technical machlekes, how to understand that Gemara, whether the Mila afterwards is a Mila Gerus or a Mila Yisrael, but there's a machlekes going on here as to what role Mila plays in the entire process of Gerus. Rabbi Yosef Engel has this on that Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Lapanovitcher has it in that Shuvah in the Zecher Yitzchak. What role does Mila play? Is Mila an integral part, a stage of the Gerus, like Tfilah? Or is Mila just, you can't convert, kind of like the Toivah V'Sheres B'Yodosvar that was mentioned, you can't convert if you're an Orel. So the real conversion is the Tefillah, but you have to do Mila first, because how can you go to the Mikvah if you're an Orel? So Vitzel Lepanovitcher suggests Taisus holds Mila as a prerequisite. That's not the real Geirus. The real Geirus is the Tefillah. And that's why the Mila has to come first. You can't be Toivah, though, if you're an Orel. So that's why the Mila has to be first. But according to the Ramban, Mila is an equal part of the Geirus, just like Tefillah. It's not a prerequisite. So what difference does it make if you do Tefillah first or Mila first? They're both parts of the Geirus. This might be the basis for the Machlekes HaPoskim, that's quoted by the Har Tzvi, about what if a person had a Milas Yisrael, meaning they thought the person was a non-Jew, they thought they were Jewish, though. They didn't do the Mila L'Shem Geirus. They did it because they thought they were a Yid. It turns out, though, that they're not a Yid. And later on, they want to use that Geirus as a Mila's. They want to use that Mila as a Mila's Geirus. Does it have to be done L'Shem Giur? So if it's done by a Nachri in a hospital, circumcision in the hospital, that's definitely no good. That's Nishkan Mila. But if it's done by a Mayal, and they just think that he's Jewish, but they don't realize it's a Mila's Geirus, does it have to be done L'Shem Geirus? So that shaila might depend on what role Mila plays. Again, if Mila is a prerequisite, maybe it doesn't have to be L'Shem Geirus. But if Mila is a stage of the Geirus, so then perhaps it has to be done, L'Shem Geirus. And again, as we mentioned, or Sobolovsky mentioned, we are makel on that shaila, that a Milas Yisrael is sufficient. This might also be the basis for Machlekes HaPoskim, that's discussed by the Sri Deyesh and by Rav Grosnas, and it's true as Leiv Aryeh, about whether or not you could use general anesthesia for a Mila by Ger Gadol. You know, it's easy, little baby, 8 years old, doesn't really get a say. There's no anesthesia that's used, generally. What about Ger Gadol? Guy's 45. Anytime, Mila. Not how tough is that? A real Mila. What? No anesthesia? Does it get to put out? Can you convert while you're sleeping? It says it's 3 days. How can the guy convert while he's sleeping? Sleeping through the Geirus? Can't be. And Dayak Grosnas disagrees, and he says, no, Mila is just a prerequisite. The Mila is not a main part of the Geirus. The real Geirus is the Tefillah, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. This is just a prerequisite, so perhaps even if you have general anesthesia, it would be okay, huh?
What can you do low anesthesia?
I don't know if that would be good enough.
So,
I don't want to speak. I don't want to say because I'm not 100% certain. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a prereq and or can convert, then it should be good that goy.
Most of the Gayrim that I, at least one I've dealt with have all had Milas before, right. So it's usually just the toughest down for a situation. I don't know about a Mila or. Yeah, what?
If it's just a prereq, then it should be good enough to have a goy and a presumably.
No, that's not a Mila.
Well, it's
you are an Oreo. I mean, not an Oreo. You're an Oreo without an Arlo. You need to acquire the toughest numbers. Yeah. What also one sees another nafkamina, something that's related to this machlekes between Taisus and the Ramban, is to how to understand that Gemara by Muberish and his Gaira is the question of surrogate motherhood, which Rabbi Sobolovsky mentioned as well at the end. According to the Ramban, according to Taisus, the child converts with the mother as a limb of the mother. So he's born a Jew. So don't you see from that Gemara, even though he was conceived as a non-Jew, as long as the mother converts in the interim, or the mother is Jewish, perhaps the baby would be Jewish. Maybe you see from that Gemara, maybe not. He was Yotze Tefillah with the mother. However, according to the Ramban, you see just the opposite. From that Gemara by the Ramban, you see that the birth mother is not the real mother, because the Ramban held that even though the child is Yotze Tefillah with the mother, he's not really Jewish yet, even though the mother converted entirely. And when the mother is comes out of the mikveh, she's a ger, and when she gives birth, she's a Jew. The child is born, still requiring a milas gerus. So from the Ramban, don't you see from there that the birth mother is not the mother? The mother is perhaps the genetic mother, is the one who donated the egg, not the one, not the birth mother. However,
wasn't that Uber Lavi Arachima? Why can't it just be that? And then it's still part of the mother, and then it's still...
The Ramban says that the ger is not, it's just Yaitze Tefillah with the mother. The mother doesn't constitute a chatzitza, because Hainu Rabise, the baby needs the mother. Whenever you have something that's necessary and it's kind of a permanent situation, it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So the Ramban holds his yotze tefillah with the mother. When he comes out, he needs a milas gerus. So you see from the Ramban that the birth mother is not the mother. However, there's another Gemara, Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Tzadi Zayin Mebeis, where the Gemara tells us if you have twins, Muberish and Isgaira, but she's pregnant not with one child, but with twins, says the Gemara, even though they would require milas gerus afterwards, but the, if they're boys, but there's an Isser Veshasach. They're not allowed to marry each other's wife, the other one passed away. And he said, Eishasach. Why? They're not related. I thought they're Gerim. Gershon is Gair, Kekotan Shanoila Dami. The relationships are all severed. Why? See, don't you see from that Gemara that the birth mother is the real mother? The Raya is that there are also Bekreve Ha'aim. There's Eishasach. There are also another Krevim of the mother. So you see, they are related to the mother. That's the big problem in the surrogate motherhood sugya, is which from the sugya Muberish and Isgaira, at least the way the Ramban understood it, you see the birth mother is not the mother, the real mother is the genetic mother. From that Gemara, though, by Muberish and Isgaira with twins, at the also Bekreve Ha'aim, you see that the birth mother is significant. They're also in the Krevim of the mother. Yeah?
Isn't there a Surim for Arayos for Benyot, too?
Yeah, but once, but not...
Not that?
Once they convert... The Gemara says, Gershon is Gai, you're Kakotin Shinoi Ladami, that's all of some Reish Samachtes. All relationships for Arai's purposes are severed. In Ikra Adin, you can marry a sister, biological sister. The Gemara says, you shouldn't do it. Shalo Yaimu, Banu mi Kedusha Kala, la Kedusha Chamura. You shouldn't say that Banu mi Kedusha Chamura, la Kedusha Kala. When I was a Nachri, I couldn't marry my sister. Now that I'm a Jew, I can marry my sister. We don't want people saying that. So fine, we don't allow them to do it midrabbanan, but midaraisa, yes. Here the Gemara says by Muberish and Isgaira, even though according to the Ramban, when they're born nishkenid, they need a milas geirus, they're not Jewish yet. Nonetheless, the Gemara says they're also on each other's relatives. Don't you see then that they are somewhat related? So the Acharim distinguish between motherhood vis-a-vis arayus versus motherhood vis-a-vis Jewishness, and it gets very complicated. So that's why. Many Paiskim suggest that in fact there are two determinants of motherhood, both genetics and birth mother, and therefore if either one was a non-Jew, there should be a geirus that is performed, at least a geirus l'chumra without a bracha. After the person receives mila, so we have to wait for him to heal before performing the tefillah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here, Siv Beis. The problem is, what is his status in between the mila and the tefillah? As we know, as was mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin and elsewhere, Chagiga, that a goy is not permitted to keep Shabbos, he's not permitted to learn Torah. So what is his status in the interim? This was a pasha. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, Ger shemalvel etaval eno ger. If he's a malvel etaval, he's not a ger. However, is he not a ger to the extent that he's also to keep Shabbos? So the... This was a celebrated case, again, in the mid-1800s, when Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for an extended period of time, went once on a vacation, or away, and he appointed as an interim rabbi Reb Osher Lemuel. And this shaila came up, I don't know how it came up only during his tenure, but under Reb Osher Lemuel this came up. A ger shemal v'lotelo, and he asked him, does he have to violate Shabbos? Is he allowed to violate Shabbos? And Reb Osher Lemuel told him that he's obligated to be mechalel Shabbos. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos because he's not a ger yet. And the Binyan Siyah and Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, as well as Rabbi Shmuel Salant, when he returned, argued, no, he is allowed to keep Shabbos, even though he is not nichnos lechalel Yisrael. He's yotze mechalel akum. He's yotze, he's not no longer considered to be a non-Jew, even though he's not yet Jewish. He's not also in keeping Shabbos. And the truth of the matter is, later Achronim pointed Rabbi Chalap, printed an article, one of the Beis Yitzchaks, and this is Rabbi Chalap's wheelhouse, the mid-1800 Yerushalmi politics. But this is when his family was a heyday. But it's inside information. But the Gemara, this seems to be, in fact, the Machlekes Rishonim, which Rabbi Chalap points out. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos, over there, Mem Vavim of Beis, that a ger shemav lo tavo is not a ger. However, Taisus asks that the Gemara later on, at the beginning of Perek HaOriel, and the Fayin Chesimid Aleph says, learns out from a Xeris HaKosuv that a ger shemav lo tavo is also to eat carbon Pesach. Why do I need a Nisa, a special Xeris HaKosuv that he can't eat carbon Pesach? He's not Jewish. Of course he can't eat carbon Pesach. Only a Jew can eat carbon Pesach. You tell me he's not an Oriel, but he's not Jewish. So says Tysus asked this question, so Tysus explains, that's how we know a ger shemal v'lo tovo is not Jewish, it's from that pasuk by Karban Pesach. However, the Rashba in that Gemara says something else. The Rashba says, because even though he's not a Yid, he's not a Nochri either. And that's why we need a special Xeris HaKosuv that he can't eat Karban Pesach. So this machleika seems to be date back to Tysus and the Rashba. But they didn't have different practices about this. But I believe that they're machmer on this. It should be mechal Shabbos. But I don't know. I can't speak. And they ask the people practically involved. Either way, though, there might be another argument to allow him to keep Shabbos. And that is because the Tosfos Yeshanim writes in Masechtas Yevamos, Adaf Mem Chesem Ebeis, that a ger who's in the process of gerus, a ger habole his geyer, he says, is already allowed to keep Shabbos. Sefer Achsidim writes in Simon Tofreish Sadi, that a ger habol is guy, you shouldn't feed him macholos asuros. Sounds like there's significance to the ger habol his guy as well. Why should we attribute significance to the ger habol his guy? I admit that these are not the run of the mill sources, but they are pretty concrete sources as well. Tosfos Yeshanim say, if you see them, why should we attribute any significance to the ger habol his guy? So I believe that perhaps it's based on Tosfos Shita that the most important stage of gerus is what? The Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. So as long as he's accepted to do Torah and Mitzvahs, even though he hasn't had Milo or Tefillah yet, he had the most important part. He wants to be Jewish. He wants to do Torah and Mitzvahs. That's already near the beginning of the process of Geirus. So we award him a certain status already now. Dain Grosnas writes in his Lev Aryeh, and Rav Asher Weiss has this as well in the Minchas Asher, that this also seems to be a machlekes between the Marsha and Rabbi Kiva Eger and that Gemara in Shabbos that we mentioned about the person who wants to convert in order to be the Kohen Gadol. Hillel taught him, again, if you remember, Hillel, the guy heard the discussion of the Gadol of Kohen Gadol, he wanted to say to Hillel, convert me, I'm going to ask that it should be the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos asks, how was he able to convert him? And he converted, and then he was learning Zarekar Vyumas. So Tosfos asks, how was he able to convert him? It's for an ulterior motive. So Marsha, and that Tosfos says, you're right, he didn't convert him. All he did was tell him, you know what, before you convert, go to our remedial Bible class. And he was learning. And then he got to the pasuk, Zari Kar of Yumas, he recognized he couldn't be a Kohen Gadol. It was at that point that Hillel converted him, when he was no longer for an ulterior motive, it was Lishma. Then the Maharsha asked a different question. How was he able to learn Torah? How could he teach him Torah if he's a guy? So it says the Maharsha, some say Torah Shebichsav is different than Torah Shebaal Peh. You can teach him Torah Shabbosav. It's just an issue to teach him Torah Shabbal Peh. However, the Marsha says, no, because since he's a ger habol is gayer, we can begin to teach him, we award him a certain status, we could even teach him Torah. Rabbi Kiva Eger on that Gemara disagrees with the Marsha, and he says he cannot teach him Torah just because he's a ger habol is gayer. He's a bona fide guy. He can't be taught Torah. And he says, Haraya is, Tysus didn't say your pshat. Tysus said, you can convert him, because I call the fira is ene hadayim. But that's the opinion of the Marsha, that he would is awarded a certain status vis-a-vis Talmud Torah. The Tosfos Yeshanim said it by Shmir Shabbos. Sefer Chassidim said it by eating Machalos Asuros. Lamaisa, Rav Moshe writes, there's only a machlek senior Bekiva Eger in the Maharsho when it's a little far out, you know, about teaching him Torah. Once it becomes, it becomes, you know, the guy's omi, his guy, or literally, Rav Moshe says, how's he going to convert without teaching him something? So Rav Moshe said, even Rav Bekiva Eger would agree, you're allowed to teach him certain halachas so that he knows what to do when he converts. Machlek is what it is when it was a little further out. He wants to convert, can you already start teaching him Torah, you know, carte blanche? But either way, you see from the Tosfos Yeshanim, from the Sefer Chassidim, from the Maharsha, that we do award a certain status even to the Ger HaBoleh's guy, even if he's not Ma'al V'Toval, simply accept the Torah and Mitzvahs, wants to convert, we award him a certain status. I believe that is the basis for the Psak that Rabbi Sokolovsky alluded to, didn't want to mention by name, which is in the name of Gedaliah Dov Schwartz from Chicago. He should have a refuah. But he... Who's of the opinion that there's a halacha, which is quoted in Hilchas Yom Tov, based on the Mishnah Masechet Tezbeah, and Daf Chafav from Aleph, you're not supposed to invite a Nachri over on Yom Tov because Gzeir Hashem Yabra B'Shviloi, and the Pasuk says, Ach Asher Yoichal Lachem, Ach, what does the Pasuk say? Ach Asher, what is the Pasuk? Asher Yachel Lachem, the Heter Vachon Nefesh is only Lachem, Lachem V'loi Lachem. So you can only cook on Yom Tov for Jews, you cannot cook for non-Jews. So if you invite non-Jews over on Yom Tov, you're afraid to Gzeir Hashem Yabra B'Shviloi. So Gedaliah Dov Schwartz said, well, if he's in the process of Gerush, just like Tosfos Yeshanim said, we award him a certain status, he's already in the process, vis-a-vis the keeping Shabbos, not feeding him Machol Sasuros, perhaps even Talmud Torah. So perhaps as well, with regards to this Gzeir Midrabanan, we would not be concerned as long as he's in the process of Gerush. Shlomo Zalman, also in the Shulchan Shlomo, which is the newer commentary of his writings on Shulchan Aruch, claims that perhaps if the ger is coming, not for my benefit, I don't need the ger at my Seder. Why is he coming? He wants to be at a Seder. So that it's not my obligation to entertain him. He wants to come. He has to come to a Seder, looking for a Seder to come to. Why would I cook for him then? It's only a guest who I'm entertaining for my own benefit. Yeah, okay, then I might cook for him, you know, business associate. If it's a ger, though, who wants to convert, and therefore he's inviting him, looking for a place to come for Pesach, why would I necessarily cook for him? And if Shlomo Zalman says the whole purpose is to teach him how a Jewish household runs, so we'll teach him the halacha. Sorry, we cannot cook for you. We cannot cook extra for you. And we'll teach him the halachas at the table. So Shlomo Zalman claims if it's an individual ger, an individual guy who's in the process of gerus, perhaps he can be invited for a Yom Tov. Or if he's so Jewish that already he is invited to a hotel for Pesach, so then a guy wants to come to a hotel for Pesach, so Dayan Weiss has in the Minchas Yitzchak that since all the workers in the kitchen anyway are goyim, so what's the fear? That the goyim will cook extra for the guy? That doesn't necessarily bother us. So therefore, Dayan Weiss said if he's so Jewish that he already went to the hotel for Pesach, that's even noch besser. But because of this svara, I was cheshish lechumra. You don't want to accept the lekula of Gedaliah Dov Schwartz, Shabbos, Talmud Torah, Machos. I can understand that. But I would be cheshish for this lechumra. Some have the process, the practice of whoever is in the process of gerus. They haven't yet had a meal in a tefillah yet. They use them as the guy to sell their chametz to them. Because there's always a problem with the guy is you never know if he takes the mechira seriously or not. John Brown, Rabbi Wilg's guy, takes it very seriously. But not all goyim take it so seriously, and that's always a constant bugaboo about the mechiras chametz. So a good idea in Eitzah is sell it to the guy who's in the process of gerus. He will definitely take it seriously. I say no. If he's in the process of gerus, I have to be afraid he's already been awarded a certain status as a Yisrael. So good, you don't want to be mekel. I would use the chumra at least to be chesed the chumra, not to use him as a guy who's going to buy the chametz. That perhaps my own suggestion. Haven't seen it elsewhere. In order for the gerus to be good, though, as we've mentioned already, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sivamis that it has to be performed in front of a Beis Din. Mishpat Echad Yilochem. However, if you convert by yourself, that's no good.
Where in Yivama is
that? I think Memhei, or Memvav. However, the Rishonim already ask a problem that our Dayanim are not bona fide Dayanim. We don't have Smicha anymore. So how can we continue to function as a Beis Din vis-a-vis gerus? And the Nesivas, the first Nesivas in Chesh and Mishpat, Simen Alf Tukon, Alf quotes Machlekes Rishonim about this. The Rashba says you don't need Smuchim for gerus. You only need Smuchim when you're passing in Yashayah, not to function as a Beis Din Haroya, a Beis Din that's observing gerus. Tosfos disagrees and he says you do need Smuchim even as a Beis Din that's just watching something. But, watching the Geirus, but we have the concept of Shlichu Saihu, that we are the Shluchim of the original Smuchim, the Smuchim Kamoi, we are their Shluchim. because that is how Taisus understood how Bezin for Gerus works. Rabbi Shechter is quoted in the name of the Or Sameach that if Bezin does anything that is a breach of protocol, even though that breach of protocol would not necessarily have been ma'akev independently, but if we're only able to have legitimacy as a Bezin because by virtue of the fact that we're shluchim of the original svuchim, so a shliach, sheshina mishlichuso, even if it's by something that's minimal, that invalidates the entire shlichus. We don't have a license to do that activity. So Shechter therefore suggested anytime a Bezin converts somebody who's converting from an ulterior motive, since lechachilo we shouldn't accept them as a ger, perhaps nowadays, b'diyevet, the gerus is no good, because that's a breach of protocol, they shouldn't have done it. That's a big suggestion. Either way, I don't think we accept that, but it's an interesting argument. Either way, the bay, you have to, of course, have kosher dayanim. That's what Rav Moshe writes, a beizdin, a gerus that was performed by reform or conservative dayanim is no good. Because we cannot reasonably expect that they're going to be more religious than the rabbi. If the rabbi golfs on Shabbos, so then we cannot expect a person to keep Torah and mitzvahs to a greater extent than the rabbi. A greater extent than the spouse, even certainly the rabbi, we can expect to be more religious then. But even more than that, the rabbi, a conservative or reform rabbi, subscribes to a mistaken ideology, doesn't believe in Torah and Shamayim, so he's a posel adayin. He's an apikaris, perhaps. So then he's certainly no good as a dayin, and his gerus would be no good. There's a tshuva that's receives a lot of attention in more recent years, which is a tshuva from Rav Sternbach, where he argues if a person performs a posel gerus, then he's posel adayonis for gerus. Valid argument. If you perform illegitimate gerusin, then you're apostle to be a dying for gerus. So therefore, Sternbach claims if a person performs a gerus where he had less than ideal standards for Kabbalah's own mitzvahs, not only is that gerus no good, but any gerus that he sat on perhaps beforehand since he did that and subsequently are all no good, even if the ger does intend to keep Torah and mitzvahs properly, because once you sat in a basin for an illegitimate gerus, that shows that you're disqualified from being a ger, and all subsequent gerus are no good. So that's part of the discussion about disqualifying gerus in the mafreya that comes up nowadays, is once we're going to say a person accepted a ger who wasn't sincere in his kavanos ol mitzvahs, now we're suspicious of the dayan too. And any gerus that dayan sat on already might be invalidated retroactively. Yeah.
Do they look at each case? I mean,
shouldn't, because his dayan was no good.
But I'm saying if one guy... No.
Once you saw that you have you have invalid standards,
no,
I'm suspicious of every gerus.
Let's say the Rambam case, the guy became a mumar, it's not his fault.
No, that's not the problem, but if he became a mumar right away and you didn't kick him out,
but didn't you say earlier that there's a subjective value given to the dayanim to determine whether somebody might
will be sincere if he has demonstrated that he's not.
But
problem.
But just based on one circumstance?
Yeah, that's also a problem in the global world that we live in nowadays. Your Kofi Rosane Adain is now subject to the overview and oversight of others. It's just the nature of the world we live in. So you need a basin for the Geirus. But 1 minute, let's go back to that Gemara in Krisus and Daf Tesmet Aleph. What's the source for all of Geirus? It's from Klal Yisrael's experience at Maimed Har Sinai. Where was the basin then? No Beis Din. We had Mila, Tefillah, Karban, Kabbalah, Shal Mitzvahs, Kabbalah, Satira. Where was the Beis Din? Another question. 1 minute. The Ribbono Shel Olam came down. And, Kvod Hashem, Nir Banon. That's not, that doesn't exist by every Geirus either. So perhaps Kushya Achas Metaresa says Chaverta, and that is that the Beis Din serves B'makom Nahashros Hashkina at the time, Lahavdil, at the time of Geirus. At Maimon Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed Kedushas Yisrael onto Klal Yisrael. What bestows Kedushas Yisrael onto Klal Yisrael nowadays is the Beis Din. Beis Din is standing b'makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu in accepting this ger and bestowing upon him Kedushas Yisrael. Perhaps for this reason, could be that a ger cannot serve on a Beis Din for gerus. The halacha generally is, that pshat is suggested by Rav Shechter, has that in the Ginos Egos. Rav Yashav has it as well in his Ha'aris HaMesechtas Kedushin. That the Beis Din is the one who bestows Kedushas Yisrael onto the ger. If that's the pshat, then perhaps even though a ger is allowed to be done as chaveru hager, that's in Siman Reish Samach Tes. In order to serve as a dayan, normally he cannot be a ger, because the pasuk says by a king, Son Tasim Alecha Melech Mikarav Achecha, he has to be from amongst your brethren, he cannot be a ger. A ger is disqualified from positions of authority in Klal Yisrael. However, That was a shayla we had here in the smichu program. I had. It was once I was giving, when I was learning Yevamos in my shiur, I had a guy in the shiur who was a ger in the smichu program, and I had no idea he was a ger. Apparently it was common knowledge, but I didn't know that. So shayla, can he serve as a rabbi? It's a position of authority. So at the time I spoke to Rabbi Reese about it. They went to Rav Salavitch. Rav Salavitch said that it's not a position of authority in our times. It's avdus. It's no sror anymore. But Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Wuig are not happy about it. So that's the official policy of the smichu programs. We will allow gerim based on the psak from Rav Salavitch that was given to Rabbi Chala. But Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Wuig both think that there is a matter of sror. Rabbi Blach didn't think there was sror either. He said, there's no sror anymore. Guy didn't like you, leave the shul. But in olden times, you had communities. Either way, is somewhat of an issue. But what about having a position of authority over other Gerim is valid, just not over Mikarev Achecha. He wants to be a king over Klal Yisrael, so then he has to be Mikarev Achecha. He has to be, he cannot be a Ger. What about to serve as a Beis Din, a Dayan and a Beis Din for Gerus? Is that called being Dan Chavero HaGer or not? So Shechter in the Sefer Ginos Egos quotes from the Sefer Shalmei Shmuel. Rabbi Yashav has the same thing in his Haaretz Masechtas Kiddushin. Then no, he cannot be a ger. He cannot be a dayan for gerus because he's not judging the ger. He is acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, bestowing Kiddushas Yisrael onto the ger. So he's our representative. He's not judging the ger. He's standing on our behalf. And that he's not allowed to do would be considered to be a position of authority that would a ger would be invalid for. Which parts of the gerus have to be performed in front of Beis Din? So as we mentioned already, Tosfos asked the question from the case of Mila, Tavla, and Nidusa. Let me just finish, and then we're almost done, so let me finish, and then we'll get to your question. Mila, Tavla, and Nidusa, how was this woman who always thought she was Jewish able to go to the mikvah? I'm sorry. The Gemara says, a woman who always thought she was Jewish, and then it turns out she's not Jewish. So the Gemara says that she doesn't require it. Nutfila, Mila, Tavla, and Nidusa, didn't she go to the mikvah for Nidus, and that should serve B'makom the Tfila for Gerus? So Taisus says, but there was no Beis Din there. So Taisus says, you only need a Beis Din for the Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs, not for the Tefillah. That's perhaps, even Taisus would agree though, and that's what the Pisachei Tshuva and Sifkan Gimel quotes in the name of Dagomir Vava, that's perhaps only true by a person who has Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. But if you have a Ger Katan, or Muberish in his Gairah, that Benoin Itzarach Tefillah, because she's Yaisi Tefillah together with the mother, the equivalent of a Ger Katan, then the Dagomir Vava says, all you have is the Tefillah. Then you do need a Beis Din there for the Tefillah. And perhaps you do need a Beis Din for the Tefillah. That's why the Beis Din always asks any woman who's converting, are you pregnant? And they are tempted to lie because they think that the Beis Din is testing, you know, their Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. They might be one motivation of the Beis Din, but they're also motivated by the fact that if she is pregnant, they need to know about it because the Beis Din has to know that the Uber has to be Tevo in front of Beis Din. That's because they have no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. But Taisa's opinion is, by a Gadol, a Ger Gadol, who has Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, Tefillah doesn't have to be performed in front of Beis Din. If all they have is Tefillah, then it has to be performed in front of Beis Din. But if they have a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, then the main part that has to be performed in front of Beis Din is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, not the Tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch, though, in the Sif Beis, Gimel, quotes from Rambam in the Rif, who disagreed that they had a different shot in that Gemara. The Milo Tavla Nidusa doesn't mean that the Tefillah doesn't need to be performed in front of Beis Din. What it means is if she went, she's already going to Mikvah Venidos. She must have had a legitimate Gerus that was performed historically in front of Beis Din. But it doesn't mean that the Tefillah doesn't have to be performed in front of Beis Din, and the Tefillah's Nidus is good enough. It's just, logically, we could presume that if she's going for Nidus to the mikvah, she had a legitimate gerus that was performed in front of Beis Din, but in fact, Meikar Adin, the tefillah has to be performed in front of Beis Din. That's the opinion of the Rambam in the Rif. The Shulchan Aruch, though, quotes, though, that perhaps this is only in order to marry a Yid. Perhaps they are Jewish, even if they didn't have a tefillah in front of Beis Din, but in order to marry a Jew, they have to have tefillah in front of Beis Din. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that was the opinion of the Rambam in the Rif. The Gra and Rabbi Avadia and his Chuvis note that that's not the Rambam. That's the Ramban and the Rif. The Rambam understood that you need tefillah even just to be Jewish, not just to marry a Jew, but even just to be Jewish independently, you need tefillah in front of a Beis Din. How do we paskin? Do you need tefillah? It's two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch. So the paskin treated as a Sveika Dedina. Rabbi Avadia and Rabbi Moshe treated as Sveika Dedina, and they say, Meikar Adin, we are Machmer. If a person went to mikvah without a Beis Din there, the gerus would be no good. We'd ask you to go to the mikvah again, and that's quoted by the Pisachei Tshuva here, Sifkan Beis, go to the mikvah again, Mikra din, we hold the geiris is no good. It's a sveik of the dina, and we're mafmeh. What about milah in front of bezin? So the Pisrei Tshuva already points out, I'm sorry, there's a stira in Pisrei Tshuva about this. If you read the Pisrei Tshuva carefully, it's in Reish Samaches. And the Shulchan Gibarim already said notes in the Rif. The Rif said the tefillah has to be performed in front of bezin. He never mentions the milah. So the later Achronim claim this depends on that chakira that we mentioned earlier. What role does milah play in geirus? Is milah just a prerequisite? You can't go to the mikvah if you're an orel. In which case, the milah is not a critical stage of geirus. Perhaps it doesn't have to be performed in front of bezin, or no. Perhaps the milah is a part of geirus, just like the tefillah. The Ramban, who held the seder, is not mi'akev, because you need both. In which case, perhaps the milah has to be performed in front of bezin, just like the tefillah. Ramesh's opinion is that we could be meiko on this, Shaila. That you don't need the milah. We do everything in front of a bezin. But b'diavad, if you didn't have the milah in front of a bezin, we can be meiko. And that's any time you have a milah, l'shem yados. Let's say you had from mayol, but everyone around you is reformed. There's no dayonim here. No one's kosher l'dayonim. Maybe the mayol is. No one else is. And it was a milah that was performed by kosher mayol, but later on we're going to milah as yados, because they thought he was Jewish, and he's not. Later on we're going to count that as a milah for geirus. So there was no bezin there at the time. So Mikra din says, Ramayisha, you don't need a Beis Din, for the Mila. But by Tvila, it would be, of course, Ma'akev. Taisis there has another opinion, though, another suggestion in that the problem of the Gemara, Mila, Tavla, Nidusa, where was the Beis Din? She went for Tvila Snidus, but there was no Beis Din. So Taisis suggests perhaps Beis Din just has to know that she went to the Mikveh, Eidus Yediyah, without Eidus Re'iyah. And we all see she's going into the Mikveh. What else is she going in there for, you know? Going to the mikveh building, and three men saw her walk into the mikveh building. So that should be good enough. That's Taisa's suggestion. However, Ramayisha, Rabbi Avadia, Yosef both say we don't passing like that opinion in Taisa's. It's not even, don't passing like it entirely. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos, because the Rambam seems to disagree. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos, and it's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, about a problem, how do you tie a woman in front of a Beis Din? I was already aware, this is a Tznius issue. The Gemara says that she goes into the water up to her neck while the Dayanim are not in the room. And presumably the Dayanim cannot see what's underneath the water. So Rabbi Tendler said, if the room is dark, you turn off the lights, and it's dark underneath the water, if the lights are not on in the room, then the Dayanim will not be able to see what's going on underneath the water. Most, but they didn't, are not satisfied with that, just having the lights off. And they have the woman wearing some sort of loose-fitting tunic or something, you know, some loose-fitting sheet or something. Like a garment that's loose-fitting wouldn't constitute a chatzitza. So when the dayanim come in, there's some loose-fitting garment around, and presumably the lights are off as well. She gets into the mikveh before they ever walk in, and then she, the dayanim walk in, and says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, v'hi toveles bifneihem, and she is tovel in front of them. It's called in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Beis. So both Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia say, you see from the Rambam, that you have to be tevil in front of them. The fact that they know about it or hear some sort of splash is no good. It has to be in front of them. And even my b'diavad, the geirus would be no good unless it was done in front of the dayanim. One last point. This quote over here in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simen Reish Samaches in the Ramah, that a Yisrael Mumar who does tshuva perhaps requires tefillah midrabanan. Why should Yisrael Mumar who does tshuva require tefillah midrabanan? What happened to the rule Yisrael shechata afa pi shechata Yisrael hu? So if Shechter once suggested, based on the it might even be in the Ginas Egos, that that same piece that we mentioned, that this is because Klal Yisrael has the ability, just like Beis Din is the one who bestows Kedushas Yisrael on the Ger, we said they're all made by Makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bestowing Kedushas Yisrael, since we have the, you know, God giveth and God taketh away, we have the ability as well to take away Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara says in Maseftas Yevamos by the Kusim, Lo Zazum Isham, Asha Asom Ka'akum Gemurim, that we have the ability to remove Kedushas Yisrael like they removed Kedushas Yisrael from the Kusim. And the Chassam Sofer quotes this in his comments on Hilchos Tefillin, that if a person converts to another religion, we have the ability to remove their Kedushas Yisrael from them. This is actually opinion of the Gaonim that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Chalitza, that if a man has a brother, I'd say the husband had a brother and he dies, and he had a brother who converted to another religion, and now the wife is stuck as an aguna because this brother, the Ach Mumar, is not going to perform Chalitza for this woman. He said, I don't believe in your religion. Why should I give you Chalitza? Now she's stuck as an aguna. So one opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the opinion of the Gaonim, is that if he converted to another religion, he loses his status as a Yisrael, and he's no longer She no longer requires chalitza from him. He's not Jewish anymore. So it's kind of that's a concept in the Midoraisa. Since we bestow Kedusha Yisrael with the right to remove it, so too any Yisrael Mumar, who was seriously leading a life that was away from the life of Torah and Mitzvot, when he comes back, there is an inyan, perhaps to be Tayvo Midrabanan. If he converted to another religion and we remove Kedusha Yisrael from him, he might require Tefillah Midoraisa, but the practice was a Yisrael Mumar did Tefillah Midrabanan along the lines of that concept. Okay. Mechina is Thursday at 1 o'clock. In our usual room.